There are three simple things that you can do when it comes to sales emails if you want to see them opened, read, and responded to. And in this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast, we're going to go there. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 50,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. This week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our upcoming webinar, 10 Emails That Every Sales Rep Must Send. It's coming up this Wednesday, but we're going to be talking all about it at the end of the podcast. If you happen to be impatient like I am, you can pull a car over and visit yoursalesplaybook.com/email21. So there are three simple things, right? I mean, I'm really not into the whole concept of complicating sales. So there are three simple things that I want you to do with those sales emails. And I promise you, it will lead to these emails being opened, read, and responded to. So what do you say we get down to business? So the very first thing, and don't you dare say duh, is the subject line. Now, there's a big mistake that a lot of people make in the subject line. And it's actually a mistake that they make throughout the entire email, but it starts with the subject line. And they make the subject line about their own company and about their widget and their solution instead of the recipient's favorite subject in the whole wide world. And guess what it is? It's them and not you, right? Imagine that. We have to get over ourselves. We have to make it about the recipient, because see what happens when you're a busy decision maker is you have to make a decision when you get all these damn emails every single day. And I believe that the first decision that they're making, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, is this relevant? Is this worth my time? Right? So we want to get their attention. And before I tell you what I would recommend that you do and how you can get their attention, I think that there are certain things that it's almost like stimulus response, right? When they see it, they say, holy shit, this is a sales pitch. I'm out, right? And they leave. So we don't want to do that either. And there's one email that I get a lot as a business owner. And in a lot of the groups that I coach, because I coach a group of business owners. And one of the things I hear when we talk about emails that they get and that I receive is that there's one that they just see all the time. And the minute they see it, like I said, it's like, okay, I'm out, sales pitch, no good. And the subject line is one where they use the name of the recipient's company. Let's say for shits and giggles that the name of the company is the ABC company that they're sending it to. Then, let's just say I'm the person who's sending it to that company, to the ABC company. Name of my company is Castain Training Systems. So what they'll do in the subject line is they'll put something like ABC Industries and Castain Training Systems. They'll put that in there, but what they don't understand is that at the very least, it's become a cliched subject line. But what I think has happened is that there are really certain things in sales that create a super bad stimulus response situation where the minute it happens, right, that stimulus, the response becomes, okay, I need to get out of here. This is a sales pitch Ain't nobody got time for that. So what I would recommend, instead of doing that nonsense, right, or about making the mistake about just making it about your widget and your company or whatever, is in the subject line, reference a trigger event that you found in your research about that company, because you should be doing your homework before sending an email. Don't you dare even think for a second that, no, you just do your homework before a meeting or before picking up the phone and calling them. No, you should always be doing your homework, right? So a trigger event. If there's a hot topic that you know that pertains to them in their industry, that's something that you can put in the subject line as well. Maybe there's something going on in the industry. Maybe there's something going on in the local area, but you're not just putting things in there for the sake of getting their attention. I mean, and for the sake of being relevant, there really needs to be something in there that you can speak to somehow, either directly or indirectly with your solution. Okay, so that's, pardon me, the first thing. And you know, I have a need to say one more thing about subject lines. Don't get cute. And I'm dead serious. Don't get cute with the subject line. Somewhere, somehow, it was taught to sales reps, and some think this is acceptable to deceive the recipient by doing a dumbass move like putting an RE in the subject line. Now, when you put an RE in the subject line, it fools the recipient into thinking that we've communicated before, right? Because that's what you see in a subject line when somebody's responding to a previous email. I'm here to tell you that when we're trying to establish a relationship with someone, why would you want to do something that diminishes trust? Do you really think for one moment, going through the head of the recipient, it's going to be, you fooled me fair and square, you win. I can't wait to talk to you and trust you. You won, you fooled me. All right, you got me. What do you want? What can I do for you? Do you really think it's going to go down that way? Nah, if it's somebody like me, I'm going to go, wow, what a dick. I might even, this may shock you, call you out on it and say, yeah, dick move. We won't be doing business. Trying to fool me? Jackass. Anyway, so watch out for that. That's the first thing, right? So the very first way that we're going to improve those emails is by the subject line. I feel it's our first line of defense, by the way. Next, I'm putting two things almost synonymously, right, for this next one. And it's your preview text and the first two sentences of the email in the same category. Why? Because the preview text, depending on how big those sentences are, it certainly be within those two sentences. The preview text is that little bit of text that appears in your inbox when you get an email from someone. There's a little bit of preview text underneath the sender's name, and it'll give you usually up to about 140 characters. So I'm saying, you know, even like the first one to two sentences will fall in there. It's not going to be, depending on how lengthy those sentences are, it's not going to be all of that in there. But if you're thinking from the perspective of writing that email and knowing that you always, whether it's the subject line or starting off that email, hell, even picking up the phone and calling somebody, a text message, a message over on LinkedIn, always start with something that's relevant to the recipient and not something that's saying me, 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 right? Because they don't care about you. They care about themselves and kind of what's in it for them. So always lead with something relevant to them. So the reason why the preview text is so important, in fact, I think when you marry the subject line in with the preview text, you have a situation where your email, the success of that email is hanging in the balance right there. Here's why. what happens is, we know from studies that have been done by MailChimp and Constant Contact that sales emails, 79% of them aren't even opened. I really want you to think about that for a minute. This is one of my pet statistics, by the way, one of my pet references here. I've been talking about this for years. And yes, it fluctuates by a few percentage points. But on average, 79% of these emails aren't even open. But I think it's important to know why. I think the two biggest reasons are, number one, the subject line didn't hook them. And I'm going to talk about why in a second. Number two, that little bit of preview text that showed up didn't hook them. Why didn't it hook them? Because there was nothing there that was relevant to that person reading it. So how do we fix that? Well, just like with the subject line, we want to lead with something that's relevant to them. I think it really goes back to that research and that homework we're supposed to be doing. Remember what I said before? Don't fall into this whole mistake and this trap of thinking that, well, we only do homework when we have a meeting, then it's worth it. No, you do more extensive, more thorough homework then. When it comes to, or maybe you're thinking, well, no, we only do your homework when you're cold calling. Bullshit. You should be doing your homework all the time. Now, don't make a career of that homework, because I also think that messing around with pre-call planning and pre-call research is a form of call reluctance, because it's a safe activity, right? Nobody's going to kick your ass doing that. So you really have to find sort of a nice compromise. And the compromise I always talk about, by the way, it's called the 3x3 rule. And I've stolen this by a gentleman, from a gentleman by the name of Steve Richard, that talked a few years ago about the 3x3 rule. Every time you're going to maybe pick up a phone, certainly in this context, send an email to a potential client, then he talks about the 3x3 rule. Take 3 minutes with a goal of finding three things that you might be able to use. Now, if you marry that in with what I was talking about today, then try to find three things that are relevant that you can leverage, three things that are relevant to the recipient. That'll keep you from falling into that black hole, that vortex of research. So if you set that alarm for 3 minutes, see, I don't leave anything to like, okay, you know, mentally, I have a rough gauge of what 3 minutes is. Nope, I set the damn alarm, because otherwise it's just, I'm doing it in an undisciplined fashion. So that's one of the ways you can do it. But there's a really cool phrase that I've been teaching for a while now. It's got to be, I'm guessing, 5, 6, 7 years now I've been teaching it. And what you should do, provided you've done this homework that I'm talking about, is consider starting your email off with the following fill-in-the-blank phrase. I noticed that. So you'd greet them, hey, Paul, whatever way you do it. Yo, Paulie, whatever way you want to send it to me, man. I'm good. You know we're good like that. You talk to me any way you want. So you could say, hey, Paul, I noticed that. And then you reference the trigger. Say you notice that I'm hiring and you have something that can help me with those new hirees, right? Those new sales reps that I'm bringing on board. Hey, Paul, I noticed that you're hiring a bunch of sales reps, right? And then you let the email go from there. And I'm not going to get into the rest of what you should be doing. That's actually step one of a 4-step messaging framework that I teach that you can use for emails. You could use it in a cold call. You could use it over on LinkedIn. So I'm not going to get into all that, because we're going to really go off topic today. So far, what do we have here that can improve the quality of those emails? And certainly our goal here is to get them opened, read, and responded to. We said so far, we've got that subject line, make it about them. We said that the preview text and the first two sentences of the email are very, very important, because they're the same thing in a way. Because it's within those first two sentences that the preview text is going to pull from and present to the recipient. So again, we want to make it about them. Use that research. Talk about something, a hot topic that's going on. Hell, if there's a mutual friend or a mutual customer or someone that you can reference there, make it relevant to them. We talked about this phrase, I noticed that. And then tell them what you noticed. The last thing is super important. And I call it speed bumps. You need to use speed bumps within the email. What the hell is a speed bump, you might ask? A speed bump is something that you put in there to not only slow down the scrolling process, which we'll talk about in a second, but you put it in there to have something highlighted so that maybe they take action or they notice it or whatever. So let's first talk about the scrolling process. You have to know that a decision maker is going to scroll through that email. There is no way that they can read every single word of every single email that they get. One thing we know, according to Radicati Group, the average person sends and receives 121 emails each and every day. I'm here to tell you, if you're talking about decision maker, that number goes up dramatically. If you're talking about business owner, that number goes up dramatically. If you're talking about the C-level, the number goes up dramatically. So please, when I tell you the average person sends and receives 121 emails a day, understand that the people that you're trying to reach, it's probably a hell of a lot higher. So even at 121 emails a day sent and received, you get really good at scrolling, right? You guys do it too. I do it. You scroll through it and you're looking to see, is this relevant or whatever? So if we understand that that person is scrolling, we want to put things in there to make them almost put on the brakes, go, whoa, 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 what is this? And they kind of stop. They stop that scroll. So one of the first things that you should keep in mind, and this isn't exactly a speed bump, I'm going a tiny bit into a tangent here, but I'll get it right back on topic. The very first thing you need to realize that if you send an email that reads like War and Peace, that scrolling process might end real quick. Because again, if you're a busy decision maker with all the things going on in your world, which I think has gotten worse, by the way, since the pandemic, especially in some of those companies that laid off people and didn't bring them back. Therefore, it's safe to say that many people now are doing the jobs of at least another person, perhaps two or three other people in some cases, right? I'm not crazy with that assumption, right? I mean, we've all seen it. So what we need to do is keep that in mind and understand that they don't have all day to read our emails. So there are a lot of different studies out there, and I'm not going to get real specific, but the ideal length of an email is under 200 words. Now, I want to just say something very, very, very quickly, because some of you are subscribed to the emails that I send out. I can tell you right now, with a very high percentage of those emails, I don't follow the 200 word or less rule. I think that that rule is perfect on cold emails where somebody hasn't opted in. But people who are opting in are basically saying to you, yes, I want information. In my case, yes, I want to learn about sales. So my job is to teach you, yes, I'll try to do it as short and sweet as I can. But just in case you subscribe to my stuff and you're saying, this guy's full of, he's full of shit here. He's a hypocrite. Casting, you hypocrite. And, or as Harold and Kumar once said, it wasn't him, actually. It wasn't one of them, but they were in this scene. in a movie, the one when they went to Guantanamo and they encountered President George Bush, and he asked him a question, and he goes, "That makes you a hypocriticizer." Anyway, I'm sorry, I digress. So you definitely want to keep it 200 words or less, but there's some things you can do to put in there that serve as really cool speed bumps. Let me tell you what they are. One of the things that you can do is, and I'm sorry, my microphone was cutting out on me. Anyway, some different things. You could use headings. You could use bullets. You can put the type that you're looking. You don't put the entire thing this way, by the way. You can use bold. Lately, I've been doing, if you subscribe to my stuff, not in the blog itself, but in the emails that I send out, I use a highlighter in there to highlight certain things. You can italicize something. You could use a larger font, and you can combine these things. Larger font, you could use a color in there. You can embed a video. That's a speed bump, ladies and gentlemen. You could embed an image. You can also use a couple of cool phrases that I teach my clients, and I will gladly offer them to you right now for the low, low price of free. Right? I think you can handle free. You can kind of set up your call to action by putting in headline text and bold, "One more thing," and then three dots. One more thing. Because if they're scrolling, they see that. They're like, "Holy shit, what's this?" And they go right to that. You can use kind of the old Steve Jobs, right? The late, great Steve Jobs phrase. One more, we said one more thing, right? You could do that, "One more thing." You could do, "By the way," right? The Steve Jobs thing. Dan Kennedy is someone I want you to know. Dan Kennedy. He is just a marketing rock star. The guy's, I believe he's maybe in his 60s, perhaps 70 years old. And this guy has done a ton of direct marketing things, from these direct marketing campaigns to a lot of the infomercials that were out there, a lot of advertising and all. And one of his students that I also think you should know, his name is Frank Kern. And Frank Kern was talking about some of the greatest lessons he's learned from Dan Kennedy. And before I forget, I do have to say something about Dan Kennedy, that the reason why I mentioned why you should know him. He put out a series of marketing books, and they're called the No BS series by Dan Kennedy. And you might be thinking, well, I'm a sales rep, and you know, what do I give a shit about marketing? Well, I think, and I felt this way for over 10 years, that sales reps have to become better marketers. Now, if you think, I have a marketing department. Yeah, but their job isn't to market you. It never should be to market you, because they're not qualified to market you. You are the most qualified person on the planet to market you. But you're thinking, well, I'm not really marketing myself. I'm marketing my widget and my solution. Bullshit. People buy you before they buy those things. Don't ever forget that. Therefore, I believe you need to become a better marketer. And even of your widget. Yeah, you should get better at that. So that's why I'm recommending him. But Frank Kern was saying that one of the best, easiest call to actions that he had ever learned from Dan Kennedy in setting up that call to action. You ready for this? It's so simple. "Here's what I'd like for you to do." You could put that as a headline in your email. "Here's what I'd like for you to do." And that's it. Those are three simple things. Now, before we review them very quickly, it's very important that you don't do something. And I think this is an important thing we must identify. If we're truly humble students of sales, I want to let you know something, pardon me, that gets in the way of learning. And I call it the sales 101 trap. It's when we come across something, we go, well, you know, that's basic, or that's sales 101, or duh. And I feel that many times when something is simple, we dismiss it because maybe it's not sexy enough. I don't know. Or maybe we just feel like we'd be a jackass to go all in on something that's very basic. I think we make a huge problem, or we make a huge mistake in sales, in that we're looking for the big answer. And I've been in sales now for 38, almost 39 years. I mean, if you don't know me, I got into sales right out of high school. I started selling. And we could probably make a really good argument saying that I've actually been selling since I was 7, because the very first thing I ever sold was necklaces to hippies in my neighborhood. And I made a shit ton of money for a 7-year-old. It was about like $8 million I made back in 72. But, you know, nobody knows really prior to this, because I have it all in like Swiss bank accounts and shit. But of course I'm kidding. But no, that really was the first thing I did. I'd make $7 million, but I really made a lot of money for a 7-year-old. And, but one of the things I found is that we're always looking for the big answer in sales, right? That big thing, man, if I do this, I'm going to kick ass. I haven't found the big answer yet. I don't know that the big answer exists. I think we're chasing something that leads to eroded disappointment. And in the process of that, you know what happens? We miss all the little things that we should be doing, but we dismiss them because of their simplicity. So please don't dismiss today's lesson because of the simplicity of it. The three things that will dramatically improve your sales email are the subject line we talked about. Make it about them, not about you. The preview text / first two sentences, or maybe to be more specific, preview text / first 140 characters of that email. Make it about them, not about you. I told you a really cool phrase you could use. I noticed that. I also said it's important that we do research, but don't fall into that whole vortex of research, nor should you dismiss researching because you think it's going to take you forever. Follow that 3x3 rule. 3 minutes, three things that you could leverage, and the best thing on the planet for you to leverage would be something relevant to the recipient. And finally, we talked about different speed bumps and different things, different headlines. Like, by the way, one more thing. Here's what I'd like for you to do. And let me tell you what I'd like for you to do. Talk about practicing what I preach, right? I'd like for you to seriously consider joining us this Wednesday, December 22nd, for a webinar that is all over what I just talked about right now. We're going to be talking about the 10 emails every sales rep must send. What I'm going to be doing, obviously, as the name implies, I'll be talking about these 10 emails that I believe are non-negotiable. You must have these in your arsenal. You must be using them. And they're emails that are not only for the prospecting phase. I think there's almost too much emphasis out there on the prospecting phase when it comes to the emails that we have. Yes, it's important, but I think it's important to talk about things that speak to other stages of the sales cycle. We're going to be talking about that. Obviously, if I'm talking about 10 emails, I feel like when I said obviously, I felt like saying, well, duh, we're going to be sharing. And by we, I mean me. I have 10 templates for you as well. We're also going to get into a few email tactics, a little bit of psychology. And if you'd like to learn more, man, you're going to have to get off your ass on this one, folks. You're going to have to move here. I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/email21. yoursalesplaybook.com/email21. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them.